Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast, episode 109, presented by Parse Rum, the best rum in the world. I drink it, you drink it. People in the left field bleachers love to drink it because they yell it at me every game.
And then they're fighting after.
We'll talk about it. There were some fights during the two-game Sox series. We have a special guest, friend of the pod, Scotty Efros, with not just a fan question, but he is our official guest on the podcast. Welcome, Scotty.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. What an honor this is. You know, there's, Dakota said it earlier, there's certain benchmarks you reach as a professional athlete, first big league debut and everything. This is the tops, being the guest, not the Scotty Efros fan question of the week, the guest of the pod. So very honored.
Thank you for rocking some compound style merch as well with the obvious.
Shirts. Yeah, little, that's called cross pollination, right? A little cross branding.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Cross pollination. Yeah.
Exactly. You know what my favorite part about us having Scott on is? He's going to listen to this episode once it comes out and then text us and be like, oh my God, I sounded so stupid when I said this. Yes. And that. Like, he's going to 100%.
Absolutely. I'll get a rhythm. Don't worry. We'll
get in a rhythm.
You got some coffee.
No, it's tea. It's tea.
That's a nice, it's very cold in Chicago. It's raining. We got rained out today. And Scotty's drinking tea, getting ready for 18 innings tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. Long day at the yard.
Whoa, double header.
Yep. Long day. We're going to get there. My prediction is that we arrive at the yard around 8 a.m. and leave around 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
Yeah, that's about right.
Scotty's throwing in one of those, and he's throwing three shutty.
I think Scotty might throw in both of them.
I think David Robertson said he threw in both of a doubleheader once.
Oh, like, I don't think my arm could do it.
That's he may have not said that, or he said he knew someone that did, but I'm just picturing that. It sounds.
That is the most Scott story I've ever heard in my life.
Zach, I know you just finished a game.
That, but someone did say that once.
I know you just finished a game, but do you have to eat your disgusting fake Greek food while we record?
Ian, I sprinted out of that clubhouse because I didn't want to leave.
You did good.
I fucking sprinted because you don't want to stay up until 10 o'clock when we're over here on the East Coast staying over until 1 o'clock in the morning, all right?
Yeah.
When's your game tomorrow, though?
5 o'clock. I don't care. It's not about what's tomorrow. Hey, Scott. You'll be fine. Hey, Scott.
Dakota's eating fucking chips. Stop eating chips. Just put
I'm not missing a beat. I'm hungry. Let me eat. Also, we didn't tell the people that we're recording this on a Friday because you guys are talking about having a doubleheader tomorrow, so they're going to know that.
Yeah, Ian. Monday.
That's fine.
Check your net.
It's okay. I'm just saying, just so people know.
Let's explain.
Before you start yelling at me, check your net, all right?
I have to tell the people about the games tomorrow.
It's full of pucks.
I want to tell. What's going on right now?
Sorry. Keep going. My bad. Tell the people
We're recording this on Friday evening because we have a tough schedule for the Cubs. Tough schedule for everybody. Really tough for the Cubbies. We got doubleheader Saturday. Sorry. Sunday night baseball to a West Coast trip. Night travel. We're going to get in about 2 o'clock on the West Coast. That's 4 o'clock Central Time, and then have to play a game on Monday in San Diego. So it's going to be really tough for us to record. We're doing it tonight. Before we get into talking to Scotty, I just want to say one thing. We got the lineup text for tomorrow. We got two games. Kershaw's throwing one, and then Anderson's throwing two.
And you're not
starting. No, I am not starting the first game. And when I got the lineup, it's like, fuck, I'm never going to get to hit off Kershaw again because I started my career 0-for-5 with 5 punchies. I'm never going to get another start against him. Ever.
You see those stats, you don't go back in.
It's like, fuck, I haven't faced him since like 2018 because they won't let me play against him anymore.
Do you want to?
Yes. I want to put a ball in play against him.
This is like the case of like, come on, man, put me in there. Like when you know you're not in there and it's just like, I wanted him. It's like when you, you know, like, come
you're
on.
Are you sitting the second game?
The first game. He's throwing the first one. Down the first one.
You get the lineup? They've
been throwing the early game. Well, I thought Anderson would throw the early game.
Well, I think we were supposed to play at one, so they're just keeping him in his rhythm.
Yeah.
Your last debut was in 2018 against him, by the way.
Yep. I think I punched out at least twice.
You punch out all five times. You are 0-5 with five.
Oh, my time. We did it.
Jesus. Wow. I think the last time I faced him, he was getting close to either 2,000 career punch outs or 2,500 or something, a big number, and I helped him get closer.
Hey, is that just a taste of you that you've been in the big leagues for a long time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Because he just had his, what, record-setting strikeout last week?
I think he said 3,000.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't think it was 3,000.
Well, he just said for the most Dodger all time for a Dodger, right?
Yeah. Dodger of all time for the Dodgers in Los Angeles for the Dodgers. Yeah.
You feel a little frisky because you had a home run? Right. You want to tell people about
starving.
Your game?
Yeah. I'm starving. Has
anybody ever seen a more Zach Short box score than his line tonight? 1-for-3 at the home run, 2 walks.
That's exactly perfect. It.
Also, perfect. Scott, you know how angry Zach gets when he doesn't eat. So we need to
That's true. Yeah. Let him go.
He's like he gets cranky.
Slippery slope.
Can you guys tell me when you all played together?
17.
17. 18.
17
and
18. Yeah.
And I guess not 19 because you guys were in triple ball.
No, we rehabs with an asterisk.
19, yeah. Me and Zach rehab/learned how to throw differently in Arizona together. Mental rehab.
So how was that, Scotty? How was switching from over the top to sidearm?
How was switching?
Wait. We're not just going to preface like, hey, how was it? Like, you went through it. Like, you were on the verge of getting released, and they said, hey, do you want to try this? And Scott took it by the horns and said, yeah, let me fucking do it. So explain that. Sorry. Dakota, good question. Yes.
So, yeah, it was the All-Star break in 2019. I actually made a spot start against the Chattanooga Lookouts and threw pretty well.
This is still over the top, correct?
This is still over the top. Yes, yes. My last over the top outing was a spot start. The reliever of my whole career, our double A pitching coach at the time, Ron Vallone, who's now the triple A pitching coach, one of my favorite people in the organization, comes up to me in the outfield at Tennessee and says, hey, let's just see how you sling a couple. Just like, I thought he was like playing with me. He's like, just sling a couple from the side. I'm like, okay. Like, whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, looks good. In his very RV voice. If you know him, like, he like that's exactly how he said it. But comes up to me and explained that the organization would like to approach me about dropping my arm slot down. I was like, oh, like, what? Like, what's the reasoning? Whatever. Like, I thought I was kind of turning a corner with that spot start through pretty well. And they explained it, said, like, well, you know, we have a couple thoughts. You know, it's kind of just – it would give you a different look. It would add some deception. They liked me – my pitches at the time, but just I was very inconsistent at the time, very up and down in double A for about a year and a half. And after they explained it to me, they said, like, we'd like to bring you down to Arizona and kind of take your time with it. They really didn't give me a timeline with it. It was just like, go down there, we'll work on it, get comfortable, use the pitch lab and everything. So I said, okay, you know, let me take some time to think about it. And went down a week after. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going both feet in with it. Like, whatever happens, happens. We'll see what happens. And I was down there for 2 months. Zach, you were there for...
Yeah, I was there for about a month and a half.
Yeah. I was there for 2 months. We had a great group down there, unfortunately. Yeah. It was you, Duncan Robinson, and Nico, amongst other people. But I was there for about 2 months, just kind of working on my new arm slot, got into some live BPs, got into some AZL games. And then went out to Myrtle Beach at the end of the season to kind of see how it would go against some decent competition. Went out there, did pretty well. Finished in the fall league.
Found my way in there somehow.
Yeah. and then, 2020 didn't get to play. 2021 started in double A. Me and Dakota roomed together in minor league spring training. We did the same exact thing every single day. For a month straight, it was very impressive.
Scott introduced me to Marvel. We watched every single Marvel movie.
We did do that. So 2021 started in double A, got to triple A, and then made my debut at the end of August. So seems like a long time. That was kind of a long-winded answer of how did it go? But at the end of the day, I always, whatever people ask me, about the transition, I always say how incredibly grateful I am to the Cubs for, they definitely didn't know me that at all at the time. Very easily could have been another decision, but they gave me the time and the freedom to explore this and the resources down in Arizona to make it worth their while. So I'm incredibly incredibly grateful to the organization for giving me a second chance, really.
And wouldn't you say, didn't you tell us before, like me and Zach, that looking back, wouldn't you say 2020 was almost perfect for you to be able to just literally work and fine tune everything?
Yeah, definitely. I would say 2020 out of the 3 years I've been doing this now. I mean, obviously this year's completely different set of circumstances, but 2020, since I wasn't able to play, I came into spring training, got into some backed up some big league games, got into that, but we didn't get to play the season, obviously. At home in Pittsburgh, I was able to find a really good group of professional and college kids, professional guys and college kids that we did live BPs for, 3-4 months, like twice a week. And really I was just able to strip away all the competitive nature of going through a season and in the minor leagues and everything, and really just work on my mechanics, work on my pitch sequencing, and kind of just was really able to feel myself, making adjustments at the time. And I really credit a lot of that to just being able to really slow down and work on my body, because during the heat of a season, you're trying to get out and you're not really focusing too much on the mechanics, I guess. So I came into 2021 much better than how I felt in 2020 mechanically, because it's still relatively new at the time.
And you came into 2021, and I mean, like you said, we roomed together in spring. So you absolutely carved in spring, went back to Tennessee. Thanks, man. You did, you shoved. Went back to Tennessee, absolutely shoved. I think you had one bad outing where you gave up four.
Yeah, we all
but you take that away, you had a 0 ERA. That's how baseball works.
It was a bad outing.
But that's what I mean. You had one bad one. I think that was your only bad one the entire season. Then you came up to AAA, continued to shove. And then first person you got to tell, I don't know if I was the first person you told, but when you got the call, we were rooming together.
You were absolutely the first person I told.
Let's go.
I ran to your room after Peavy called me. I'm like, I knew it too.
The second you came in my room, he goes, "Hey, Dakota." And I'm like, I don't know what just happened.
Well, I didn't like bothering Dakota at night, because he's usually playing video games. He's locked into a show or whatever. So I would rarely come in there unless I absolutely needed something. So when I told him, it was pretty important, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And that was so sick to see after making that transition and then grinding back in Tennessee again. Getting back to that was your first year in AAA last year, which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
make it to the show.
Triple ball, love Des Moines.
Dakota, you may have to yell at my mom or yell at Scott, because between you two, I don't know who's their favorite.
Between me and Scott,
yeah, I think it's Dakota right now.
That's okay. She can be tied with us, because she loves me. She's the best.
I'm not joking. She checks in with you more than me.
She's got room in her heart for both of us.
Yeah,
I guess all three. I don't know. You sometimes
no room for me.
Does she? Does she ever check in on Duncan? Text Duncan, and be like, "How's law school?"
No, she texts me about his dad. She's like, "Hey,
wow,
pretty periodically."
But has she ever texted him and "How's Ian doing? Is he doing pretty good?" Or?
Whenever Ian gets a homer, she's like, "Oh my god, so happy for Ian."
Oh,
he cashes in her dinger dollars.
Yeah. fucking time.
Hey, Scott, can you talk about how throughout that whole process, when you get that, when they come to you and they're like, "Hey, do you want to drop down?" The thought of going to Arizona for 2 months in the middle of summer,
real quick,
that was the one thing that I thought of. I was like, that sounds brutal.
But also, sorry, it wasn't really offer, was it? It was basically you either do this or it's probably it.
Yeah, the way it was described to me was hey, this is a good chance to stay in the organization at the time. And now that was never said to me, but the conversations were we would like you to do this. And I was okay, it was very I at the time it was definitely unnerving, I think, because I mean, you do something your entire, I was 25, 26 at the time, you do something your entire career fairly successfully, and you know, it's hard to hear that, like, hey, it's just not working anymore. And like, I could see the writing on the wall. Like I said, a year and a half in Double A, you guys saw me there, like, you know, it was good. It was bad. It was kind of average. It was very consistent. You know, I think, you know, looking back on that time, I kind of reached my ceiling physically from what I was doing previously. But, you know, when they described to me, said like, it's not going to be rushed. It's not going to be something that like, we're just going to kind of throw you up the side and forget about. I always credit Josh Zide and Tyler Pearson, who are my two absolute rocks down there. Every single day we were grinding video, looking at different arm slots, like kind of trying to find the one that seemed to work and kind of going from there and like making adjustments from there. So they put in a ton of resources to me down there. And I felt really, it felt great because like that was probably the first time in my career that I had felt, you know, like I stood out a little bit because I was doing something different, and it was a great, in hindsight, two and a half months of just completely focusing on relearning my mechanics, obviously. And then, you know, it kind of gave me a mental break from kind of decompressing. And, you know, you push so hard for so long in the minors. And like I said, I was kind of struggling a little bit, and you kind of like hit a wall. So it kind of allowed me to take myself out of the game for a little bit because I was not playing, but learning about something new. And it kind of just gave me a new perspective on the game. So I think when I came back and was able to gain game form, not only was I a different pitcher physically, but I think mentally it gave me a little bit of a, I guess, clearer picture of what I wanted to do with baseball.
Back to your 2020 thing. Like we have, you know, we talk all the time about baseball, but like, I just have every day, like, vivid memories of you just text me like after your lives, and was just like, dude, I just need a shot. Give me a shot. I need a shot. And like to the point where I was like, Scott, I don't know what to fucking tell you, man. It's September.
You're not.
Zach was at home too.
I'm like, dude, I'm fucking on the 17th hole. You gotta stop texting.
Zach's playing an amateur golf event.
Yeah, literally, I'm in a fucking tournament. I'm like, Scott, you gotta
stop. Did
you
sign up for that and then got traded?
Huh?
Was that? Didn't you sign up for that tournament and then got traded?
No, I played in it. I played in two.
Did you? Oh, no, it was Ernie. That was Ernie. Never mind.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing in spring training, I believe it was spring training 2020, Scott came into a game and I had no clue that he had switched and he came Nobody into did. A game and dropped down and I was like, huh,
this guy's gross.
What's going on? This guy's unbelievable. Can you
now
talk?
Now, well, now I got Ian. We have a routine now where Ian finds me after he stretches and tries to play catch with me really quick, and he'll just drop down for a few. So now he slings at sidearm as well.
Do you want to talk about how whenever anybody tries to throw with you, they throw a sidearm?
Yeah, it's like, ooh, that's the funny way to throw. I'm going to do that too.
I did it once in catch play with Scott, and he goes, hey, that's my thing. Don't do it.
He said whenever anybody throws him ball, they like drop down. Like, oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's you, man. That's you. Yeah, you're the weird guy, yeah.
Can you talk about being – this is your first full season in the big leagues. It's a very veteran bullpen.
Yes.
A lot of guys with experience, a lot of guys with a ton of success. Can you talk about just like what you've learned being in the bullpen for the first time, the big leagues, like the routine, the schedule, like what's this type of stuff you picked up in the first month?
Yeah. I think it's like you said, super veteran laden team. I like our mix a lot because there's a lot of younger guys, but there's also, some, I mean, we had what, three guys that won with the Braves last year on our roster. So it's a super veteran team, especially in the bullpen. Those guys are great. It's not even anything specific to like the day-to-day process of being a big league. It's just like listening to them, like talk, like I've been, you know, talking to David Robertson and Chris Martin and Michael Givens a ton about just like, you know, get, like little anecdotes that they have across their career that they learned something, or, you know, like ways they go about their business, and, you know, what was your best matchup with this? So I think just having those conversations, it's great. And it makes me feel a lot more comfortable down there. And we have a really good group. We've been really good so far, hoping to keep that going. But I think everybody's like super about their business. You know, I think everybody loves, you know, kind of coming to the park every day, especially, I know we've had tough weather at Wrigley, but you know, when we're at home, especially, you know, it's a great atmosphere, and you know, it's a really good group of guys.
I just want to say really quick, I love when the bullpen talks about tough weather because they're sitting inside, like tough weather out there today, boys. They're like, looking through, it's raining.
Yeah. So our bullpen coach, Chris Young, he said, like, we can turn the heat up in there if we wanted to, but we like to keep it close to where it is. So it's cold in there. It's colder in there than it is the dugout.
You guys are wearing jackets.
Yeah, the dugout is
out there with 17
Ian warmers. Ian has no sympathy for you.
No sympathy.
No, that's okay. Ian looks really cold out there. We can kind of see him through the glass a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll come out and play catch with Ian at least once a game. Usually the fourth or fifth inning is kind of my routine.
So, Scott, so like Ian said, he alluded to me.
Zach.
It's your first full year in the big leagues. You had some time last year, obviously. Has there been a moment – like the it moment that you're like, holy shit. Like the game I got my first hit, Salvador Perez was catching and I was just like, looked back on like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, it was just kind of like the, oh my God, I'm actually here.
Like
I saw Ohtani for the first time. I was like,
yeah,
all right, this is
that. Crazy. I think that moment happened last year. I'm trying to think, but there's another moment that was like, kind of like, this is really cool for me was, I think last year, yeah, like when you kind of come up like first couple weeks, like you're like, oh my God, like played the Cardinals and I was facing Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. I'm like, what am I doing? but I think this year, honestly, one of the coolest things this year was, so we're in Atlanta, Chris Martin, veteran pitcher who pitched with Atlanta last year said, hey, and like anybody who doesn't know, like when you come here, when you run to the game in the middle of an inning as a reliever, they'll turn the lights off and do the chop to try to intimidate you. And this is Acuna's first game back. So, Scotty's warming up in the bullpen. Came in for Smiley. It was second and third, two outs. And I had Austin Riley up. So big spot, like middle of the game, 2-1 ball game.
Did you step off?
No.
Scotty step off.
Wow.
I had two pitches that inning, so I was good. I knew that going in, so they call for me in the middle of the inning, and then the lights go off, and completely shut off, and the whole stadium's going, like, the chop and everything, and I'm like, I was jogging in, I'm like, this is sick. Like, this was, like, that was, like, the cool, like, I think, like, the moment where I was, like, the big leagues are, like, awesome, and, like, obviously, like, everything that goes into it is better than I ever could expect it, but that was one moment that I think I'll remember for the rest of my playing career, just, you know, packed house, 30,000 fans, World Series champs, you know, all-star player coming back in like a big spot. So that was one of the moments where I was like, this is pretty special. That'll be one I'll remember for a while.
Zach, will you explain to the people Scotty Stepos?
Yeah.
We don't have time. You guys, you know, Zach's got a game tomorrow. Me and Ian have a doubleheader. Like, you know.
Scott acquired that nickname when he just had this –
thing. Shout out Jared Young, who also did a homer tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Jared Young, we were all in the fall league, right? Is that when it started?
Yeah.
And for some reason, there was a guy on first base, and Scott just abused the right to pick off to first base. Like that.
Now I couldn't do that.
That would say, in the minor leagues, you would be toast. They would just be running laps around the bases because
I would score him.
Yeah. So whenever, you know, Scott looks a little jammed up, it's like, oh boy, he's going to step off. Here we go.
A little jammed up.
Would you pick every time or just step off the bat?
Scotty pick
off.
Oh,
it was everything.
Off.
It was a quick pick. It was a step off.
Step off,
like,
show the ball.
Step off a little here, a little step off, like look at the catcher, like my bad.
Hey, let me get that again. Get that sign again.
Yeah, get that again. The funny thing is, I think the first time I did it, Jared was at first. And JJ Medijevic, who played for, I can't remember,
yes,
Salt Lake or Surprise or whatever. And I actually threw live BPs with him in Pittsburgh because he lives in Pittsburgh. He lived in Pittsburgh at the time. I picked off three times over there and it actually ended up working out because Colin threw him out from home. So it kind of worked out in my favor. He actually stole and he's like, he told Jared, he's like, what the hell is he doing? And Jared's like, I don't know. And I remember talking to him about that during our lives. He's like, why did you pick off so many times? Like, bro, I don't know what's going on. It's nervous.
that was after 2020, right?
That was 19. 19.
I was 19.
Yeah, so Scotty step off. So I haven't done it too much. I did one. I did do one that outing, actually. I had one at Dansby, and Dansby told Rivas, like, I'm not stealing.
You had just learned sidearm, too. I'm sure that played into it. And you're like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're already, I mean, your college nickname was Psycho E. Like, you're already a psycho on the mound. You've calmed down.
That's true.
You are way calmer now.
Oh, my God. The best was in Double A when he was just like, he'd get it out of the pen. He would.
Is this an interview or a roast session? I'm not sure.
You came in once in AAA.
You guys don't do this to Nick Miller or like whoever else comes on, like in this Arrieta.
Zach, there was one game he came into the dugout, and I was in the dugout. I think it was in Toledo because we were in the dugout. Maybe not Toledo. I forget where we were, but we were in the dugout, and he came in, and he was like going up and down like a fucking like raging bull. Like it was a good inning. He was just fired up. He's like huffing and puffing. I'm like, whoa, man, breathe. Whoa. He's a psycho.
I like ball. What can I say? I like ball.
Yeah. Scotty is a big high five guy. Make sure everybody gets a high five after he pitches, which I really appreciate.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I want to get energy. My teammates. I want to get like, I always get like, whenever I, you know, come to the dugout, I get all the infielders and everything. And then I get usually Ian and Jay and Saya because they, you know, they play behind me. Like, thank you guys for being out there with me. I appreciate that.
Like they have a choice.
I think last year, did you come into a game, go upstairs, change your shoes, and then come back out into the dugout? Or maybe not even change your shoes and still...
That was your debut, right?
No, I think I did that. Yeah, I think I did that this year, too. Like, I kind of walked up the stairs, and I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I was like, Scott, you can... You know, you can hang out in the
club. I think I did do that. I think that was... I think that was my debut. You're like, you're good. You can take to the...
Ian literally told us about that. He's like, yeah, Scott, like, went inside, put on turfs or something, like, came back out, and I'm like... What are you doing?
I just want to watch the ball game. You know? Yeah. It's hard to watch.
Scott's like, this is so cool. Like I want to
go get a workout in.
Just, dude, it is cool.
Just warm
now. I do workouts. So
I would do the same thing. Just to
In your debut.
Well,
oh yeah.
I would do it now.
I just want to soak it in, man.
Yeah.
I think I did it last year, and I pitched early in the game, and it's like you can't be on your phone in there. So like you know, you finish your shoulder work, everything, you get a snack, like maybe do like a quick workout, but it's like still a seventh, eighth inning. Like, oh, I want to go watch the game. Also, I think Dakota can kind of attest this, that when you're in the bullpen for so long watching the game, like when you get to go to the dugout, it's such a better view of the game. It's so much better. Like it's
especially
so much
like
better than watching it. Huh?
It goes at like Wrigley too. Like that'd be sick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that goes both ways. Like hitters are always like, man, the bullpen's awesome. Like I want to go in the bullpen. And the pitchers are like, man, the dugout. Like I would
when
love
I, the dugout sweet. On the railing. The dugout's so cool. So much action.
When I was hurt in 19, I would sit in the few innings in the bullpen in Iowa. And I'm like, oh, it started out like, man, this is cool. You know, like nobody can hear you. This is great. And then I was like, this is fucking brutal.
Especially the Iowa bullpen. The Iowa bullpen is the worst angle because like, unless you get one of the corner seats, but sometimes the umpires will tell you like, hey, get off the line. So you can't do that. So it's like, you're like looking like this, like you're craning your neck to watch the ball game. Best was that, shout out Trace Thompson, who would come down like every half inning, do a wall sit for 30 seconds in the bullpen in between innings and then run back down. So he would sit both in the dugout and bullpen with
us. He'd come down, talk shit to me, do a wall sit, and then go back into the dugout.
Yep. Get to see him next week.
Funny story about the bullpen's kind of funny. It's like we were in Omaha last week, and I don't know if you guys know, like in center field is where the bullpen is, and you can see it, obviously. It's like you can see who's warming up or whatever. And one of our pitchers got in a jam, and all of a sudden you just see seven or eight start doing a bunch of shit. And like somebody brought it up, and they were like, you guys ever notice the bullpen? Like as soon as somebody gets in shit, it's just like a line.
It's a feeling.
Rucker makes fun of me for that because as soon as like the starter's in like the fifth inning and he gets like two guys on, I literally like instantly like go like this, like stretch out my forearm, and he laughs every time I do it. I'm like, dude, you never know, man. Like
some guys can sit there, and that's just their routine. It's like some guys can sit and just like, oh, call, like go in, like there's no chance I can't sit, period. Like I'm always bopping around the bullpen, like doing whatever. I've got my routine down now where I'm like, okay, like I can kind of like see where I could get into this ball game a little bit, but like, yeah, your starter gets in trouble in the first inning. Like everybody's like up to this, like, go in, like fans. Yeah.
That's how it is. That's how it was as a position player in the National League. Like
it's true. Yeah. Cause you have to, I mean, yeah. Like the sixth inning rolls around.
That's how it is as a position player when in the National League, when somebody starts to argue with an umpire,
you're like, start
stretching your hamstrings. Like, oh shit, don't get tossed.
Scotty, Nope.
No, I have a question for Scott. Okay.
Yes, I have another one. Ian.
Tell me about opening. You opened.
I did.
Did you prepare the same for opening as you would for going in? When we were playing the Rays, this is just a quick, when we played the Rays, they opened against us, and the opener came out of the bullpen to start the game.
Yeah.
You did not come out of the bullpen. You came back down.
That's soaking it in.
Yes. Absolutely 100%. That was the only thing I changed that was different. Everything else, I played catch. So usually relievers play catch at 4 o'clock for a 6:30, 6:40 game. Played catch with them, played normal, did my sprints, everything, like 8 normal time. I just came out and did 10 minutes of, like, throw my pitches before the game. And they're like, you can walk down to the dugout, you can run in from the bullpen, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I'll throw to the dugout. I'll brace it a little bit. That was the only thing I changed. But other than that, everything else was the
game started in the big leagues. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It felt like, and the game we played, it was like raining and cold and like
it was horrible.
Crazy crowd because the White Sox and Cubs, like, just very loud from different directions. It felt like a football game. Like, I felt like I was playing a football game out there. It was very intense. So that was a cool experience. Very cool experience for sure.
Did you come in from the bullpen when you made spot starts in triple or minors?
No, that was
better not fucking change.
No, those were different because that was like, hey, just go get him for as long as you can.
Yeah. Like, we're going to let you go for like 60, 75, like go get him.
Those were starts. And that was fine. Like we had the days built in. I was actually in the rotation for one start.
Yeah. You're supposed to start opening day.
I was supposed to start opening day in Tennessee. Yeah. But we got rained out.
That's crud. That's a bunch of crud.
Yeah.
If you opened again, would you do the same thing?
I would do the same routine. I would, I don't know. I might run in from the bullpen next time. Depends where we are. If we're on the road, then absolutely. Because that's just like, but like if you're at home, like, I don't know. I feel like it looks weird too. Like the Wrigley, like the crowd, weird. like, why is this guy running in from the bullpen? You know?
Who the fuck is this guy?
That makes sense.
It's a streaker on the field.
Back to like staying ready. What have you noticed a difference? Because you know, like in AAA, like we literally knew the days pretty much when we were going to throw. It's like, oh, this guy hasn't thrown in 3 days. He's going to throw. Like in the show, it's like it could be you don't throw for a week or you throw 4 straight days.
Yep.
So like has your routine changed to stay ready?
I think part of me learning how to be like more calm in the bullpen has definitely helped that because like you can't like, I mean, you guys know me, like very intense in the bullpen. Like, okay, it's my third day. Like I got to get in this ball game. Like I'm like sweating down there. Like
Scotty would sit there and Daisy thought it was him. His knees shaking and he's staring at our dugout to see if RV would come out. I'm like, Scott, he's not going to go anywhere. If he comes out, he's coming out.
We'll let you know.
Say what RV's Scott signal was.
Right here, a little frosty. Mm. It's getting frosty in here. Yeah, a little frosty. And then just switched it to sidearm. So
yeah.
No, I think like you can't get like that now in the big leagues because like, yeah, exactly. You said like you can throw 3 games in a row. So I think I kind of learned Chris Young, our bullpen coach, CY, he's been amazing. Like as far as like this is like where we think like you could fit into this spot of like hitters or like so like kind of like you learn your spots of like where like oh there's like you know like a handful of guys we like your matchup against like coming up and like oh you're looking at the game, you're looking at his pitch count, like whoever's pitching, like oh this could be a spot for me, and you kind of get used to like where you know you're gonna pitch a little bit. But I mean every day is a new game. You have to be able to kind of flush the last one and be ready to get some outs to the game you're in, because like you could throw, you know, one inning clean the day before. And it's like, hey, can you get a couple outs, you know, in this game? Like, yeah, you have to be ready for that. So just being prepared the whole game and never thinking you're like me and Dakota talk about all the time. Like if you're always prepared to go in the game, like you never get like his term, you never get caught with your pants down. It's it keeps you.
That was, I learned that the most last year. I've always, like, you and me have both always been pretty good, I feel like, about staying ready. I feel like Adam Morgan was really good about like teaching that to guys, like stay, like you get caught with your pants down, you go out there and shit the bed, like that's on you. Like if you're not ready to throw and you go out there and give up two runs, like that's your fault.
It's always those games you let your guard down just a hair, and it's just like, oh, like I'm checked out of this game. It's a 7-1 ball game in the eighth, and I threw yesterday. Like, you know, while I'm not pitching, like, bring, like you're in. Like those are the games you get. Like those are the games the baseball gods know. Like you weren't prepared to go in this baseball game. So I always take pride in like not having that happen or having that. You know, like it's gonna happen at some point. It's a long season, but like the less times you have that happen. You know, if you can keep it to zero, that's like you're always prepared to pitch. Like that's you're in a good mental spot.
Because I feel like we're the same way. Like constantly throughout every game, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I mean, it could be me next, or I'm like, yeah, no shot. Like this guy's definitely going, not me.
You can always make an excuse for why you'd be in the ballgame.
Yeah, 100%.
Same. I have a question, but my question is presented by Athletic Greens. Have you ever had Athletic Greens, Scott?
I have. Zach. Yes.
Ooh.
Wow. Zach has not. Neither have I.
Dakota and I's agency sent it to us a couple years back.
Did they?
Oh, no. Oh, I got in the fall league.
Do you know?
Oops. Sorry about it.
Do you know why Dakota started taking Athletic Greens?
Why?
He wants to get big and strong.
Because he wanted more energy. He hated taking pills and vitamins, and he wanted a supplement that actually tasted great.
It does taste delicious. Zach and Ian don't know yet, but they will soon enough. I had some today. I have some every day.
It's good. It's
unbelievable.
It's lifestyle friendly and uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. With Athletic Greens, you're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance. Do you know that? And they're going to give you 1 free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. AthleticGreens.com/compound.
The best part that you two haven't got it yet is Tom sent me like a second care package. Like I have like 30 travel packs, and then I have like the tub still full.
Hey, Dakota, I'm happy for you, man. I really am.
That's what I drink it every day.
Can you please grab mine from the –
I will go look in your locker tomorrow. Although you're, yeah.
Ian, can I interject very quickly and tell you guys about the newest addition to the John Boy Media podcast network? It's Inside Boxing Live. It's hosted by Dan Canobio. They've had guests like Mike Tyson, Dame Lillard, Ryan Garcia, and Canelo. Canelo, I think he's fighting tomorrow as we record this on a Friday night. So I'm sure on next week's episodes, which come out on Monday and Thursday, he'll have a recap of that one on Monday. So by the time you hear this, it's already out. You can go listen to it. Inside Boxing Live, new episodes Monday and Thursday. Dan Canobio is great. He's here in the office all the time. We love him. Head over to the John Boy Boxing YouTube channel or check out any of your favorite podcast apps to check it out. Inside Boxing Live.
I actually have a question. But it's presented by athleticgreens.com/compound. Do you think this is a general thing? This isn't about the Cubs. This is about everybody. This is a general thing. Do you think that teams should make their minor league pitchers, starting in Double A, starting in Triple A, never? You tell me, throw back to back. Because for the listeners out there, a lot of organizations in minor leagues, they'll have their relief pitchers throw one day, rest one day, or if they throw two in a row, then they rest for two, and then they it's very rare in the minor leagues you see guys go back to back. There's usually a schedule. So do you think, now that you've gotten to the big leagues, you throw them back to back, do you think that it's something that they should make guys do in the minor leagues, that they should teach?
Yeah, I
think had a lot of discussions about that, me and Scott.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, I kind of think back at it like when did we start doing that? I guess in Triple A you see it a little bit. I threw a couple back-to-backs last year, kind of out of necessity because our pen was short, but like that's what happens in the minors. I think there's value to both sides of it, kind of a vanilla answer, I guess, because like you want to get like as many guys in there as possible, give guys chances. If they're on the roster, they need to throw. Then he gets to Triple A and like, you know, guys have priorities if they're on the roster, like we need to see him, like he needs to go back-to-back because the, you know, the team's dictating a little bit. So I don't know. I guess like maybe if it's not bad, it's not a bad thing to prepare for, that's for sure. I mean, like, we had a pretty veteran-laden bullpen last year in AAA. And I don't know, like all those guys said, like, you know, when you get out there, like, be prepared to throw a little bit more unique situation. I don't know. It's kind of hard because, like, it's hard. What do you think, Dakota?
I think 100%, especially in AAA, you have to, because guys like Dylan Maples, for example, I remember in 2019, he'd throw once the same as everyone else, like once every third day, whatever it was. He'd go up to the big leagues, they throw him three straight games.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I don't know how he's supposed to succeed at that if he's never done it.
I'm not a pitcher, but I think it's a skill. I think it's tough to do. I don't think it's something that can be expected, that especially as a young reliever, that when you get to the big leagues, you just know how to do it.
I definitely think if you just looked at a guy who's in AAA or AA, and then a guy in the big leagues, say they throw the same amount of innings, but one guy's got 30 appearances, one guy's got 60 appearances, like that's a completely different season as far as like just your workload, because like you have to get up, you have to warm up and like get into the games. And like in the big leagues, there's games you warm up that you don't even get into. So that's kind of like, you know, that's a little bit more of a tax. So yeah, I think there's definitely spots where teams, and it's different across organizations. Like I remember Omaha last year, they had a really good bullpen. They would run their bullpen like a major league bullpen. They had a closer, they would run out there like back to back, like three out of four. So it just depends on like the team's needs. But yeah, I think it's definitely, like you said, Ian, it's definitely a skill to be able to throwing during catch play. Like if you're hot tonight, like, you know, take it easy and catch play. Like that's something I've learned, I guess, along the way with, yes, but earlier with all the veteran guys in the bullpen, like just like taking care of yourself on a daily routine, getting your work in where you absolutely need it to be prepared to pitch that night. So
I think that, yeah, I think there's an art to getting your body ready every day too. And like what that takes, like if you don't know if you're going in there or you think, you know, that you're, hey, I'm down because I threw two innings yesterday. It's like, there's a real art to being ready every day to go in there. And then what the major league season takes.
They're good about it in the minors. Like we've had guys that they, like last year we had guys that they wanted to get back to backs for, and like our pitching coach would tell them beforehand, like, be ready to go today. Like,
yeah,
we could use you.
I think in AAA, like I think in the lower levels, like you definitely need to get guys innings and like you have to like run them out there a little bit more. I think in Iowa last year, we did a pretty good job of like, especially, I mean, early in the season, like you don't want to like abuse guys, I guess, but like later on the season, like I was going back to backs like a couple times, you know, every other day. So like you kind of get that feel a little bit, but yeah, it's a different animal when you get up to the big leagues and like, hey, we need you for an out tonight. Hey, we need you for an inning plus and like come back tomorrow. So you definitely, like you said, it is a skill.
Counterpoint, the caveat to that is if you have guys going back to back in AAA and one of your dudes goes back to back and then they Jed and calls down and he goes, hey, we need Scotty up here tomorrow. And they're like, oh, he just went back to back. Like, fuck.
Yeah. That's also a very rare. You got to know the guys you can do it for, because if it's a guy that's like kind of riding the shuttle, like you need to know, like if we call, we need him tonight.
That's kind of why I think that you should be doing it at the lower levels, because you know that you're not going to be there. True. But also, like, true, there's definitely been situations, and I don't know, last year probably, like there would be times when like they'd want a guy to be back up and he would have thrown a back to back or something or not been ready, and like the big league staff would be like, got fucking guys down there. Yeah, we need them. They just threw 3 days in a row. But it is interesting.
I'm not saying 40-man guys should. I'm saying like the young prospects you have coming up, or like the young guys that aren't on the 40-man yet, like get them accustomed to it. Because most of the time if you're on the 40-man, like they've probably done it by now.
Yes.
But like the young guys like Leaper and Eckert in AAA right now, like I don't think Leaper did back-to-back once last year.
Yeah.
And it's like for them, like it's not like, oh, we need them now. So it's like you could do it early in the season, just kind of see how it feels.
Yeah. True. I feel that way about young guys. And like once guys get to AA and you start having a sense for like who's got a chance to make the big league roster someday, like those guys are in AA for the first half of the year. Like, hey, man, you're going to throw, you know, five back to backs before the end of the first half because we want you to work on it and get accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And it's a more controlled environment to be able to do it in.
Have you guys texted your new coworkers yet? Like Dwayne Wade and Gabriel?
No, I sent a text about that. Neither of them were very excited.
Mm. Well, Billy Crystal?
I had a job to do.
I knew about it.
Weird.
Oh, thanks for telling us.
Because I'm also, you know, I was like the last person in that video. There was like, we got to like 4 minutes and I was like, I didn't make it in this fucking video.
They also called you an investor, not an employee.
He is an investor.
I appreciate that. Yeah, but I was an investor before an employee.
He's talent.
You were an investor before an employee?
On air talent.
Oh.
Ian, I edited that video. You were going to be in the video.
Hey, thanks.
How come me and Zach weren't in it, huh? How about that?
You guys were in it.
Did you watch it?
I can't lie to you. I didn't watch it.
I watched it. It was great. Tom, it was great. It was very entertaining. Very, very John Boy-esque. Great job. Scott,
thank you for supporting John Boy Media, unlike Dakota and Zach, who actually work for the company.
You're welcome.
Support them.
I watched a podcast.
I saw it.
You just said you weren't in it. You're in it.
Where are my athletic greens, Tom?
I was pumped that you guys made it in. I was like, the compound gets left out of a lot of stuff, and we were all in it.
And as an investor, I need you to fix that.
Well, that's
you're the owner of this company. Talk to Dwayne.
That's why I made sure that Tom edited the video.
I want you to speak to Mr. Wade for us.
Wait, can we just talk about that real quick? It was really exciting. John Boy just closed their latest round of funding. Some really cool investors. Dwayne Wade, Gabriela Union, Billy Crystal. Say some other ones, Tom.
This is going to sound really bad. Who's the guy married to Serena Williams? He invested.
I believe his name is Alexis. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's like also the founder of Reddit. He's an investor. Quinn Cook.
By the way, Quinn Cook is one of my favorite players at Duke. I need to meet him.
Zach loves Quinn Cook.
I love me some Quinn Cook.
One of my favorite parts of the video is when Jimmy and Jake throw to the man they call Carl. Which is Carl Anthony Towns. I don't think anyone on planet Earth has ever called him Carl, but
that was funny.
They went with that. A lot of great investors. I can keep going, but I think that gives you a good idea of who is investing.
It's really cool, and it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for John Boy. And I'm coming to New York in about a month, and I can't wait to see the office. Scotty, you come with me. Just come with me.
Yeah, Scotty, come to the office.
Ian's going to New York for a couple of days.
We should also mention a bunch of baseball guys. We didn't mention Noah Syndergaard, Trey Turner, a lot of MLB guys also.
Yelich.
Those are competition.
Yelich.
Yeah, Zach or Ian, you're letting Yelich get in on the company? I don't know about that.
He was in early with me. He was.
All right, pull out. Pull out.
Yeah.
I won't.
We actually talked about it on the field in like 2020.
Let's get some Tigers to invest, huh? What, Torkelson, you got some money. Let's go. Fork it over.
Get off your wallet, huh?
That's friend of the pod.
He's rich.
He hit his first big league homer, huh?
He's got three of them.
That was like three or four.
No. Bobby Witt hit his first big league homer. My bad.
He's good.
My bad.
Very good player.
Anything else, guys? I don't want to keep you guys too late. We have 18 innings tomorrow.
Love you, Scotty. Go throw 2 shutout innings tomorrow with through 2 strikeouts, 4 ground balls.
Hey, love you guys. Shout out your original South Bend house with Duncan.
I was going to bring that up in the beginning, how you were our, like, we have the crew, me, Zach, Duncan, and Mark Huberman, and then Scott really badly wants to be in it. And we, like, we always say, like, plus one, like, he's our plus one.
I just snaked my way into that friend group. That's okay.
He did.
We have to do screen time, Scott, and we have to know your screen time.
Oh, wait. I thought we were going to do a separate thing. I want to say, it's kind of just a different direction. My middle brother, Avery, might be playing in his last collegiate or baseball weekend this weekend. We're doing it as they're playing right now. Just want to give a little shout out for all the years and time that he has put in to this cruel game.
About time you shouted out Avery instead
of
shout out to Avery.
No, you know, I don't know. It's just
shout out
to
Avery.
It's really tough.
Brother.
It's really tough when a game, you know, you've played your whole life could come to an end. And he's never complained or anything, kind of just was, you know, everywhere he went, he wanted the ball. And he's still, you know, an inspiration to me just with how competitive he is. And just want to shout him out, you know.
Is Mrs. Short going to tear up at this part?
He's going to ball her eyes out.
He's a grinder, too. A couple different colleges, like a couple different injuries. He's a grinder. So shout out Avery.
Broken back, a bunch of armed issues, you know, he never complained, just wanted to get back out there. So just wanted to shout him out.
Sick. Screen done?
Sloan screen time presented by Sloan, presented by Sloan Fleshers.
Can we also say Zach's raking right now? Zach, another homer today.
Zach is raking.
2 RBIs.
Did you listen to the pod, Tom? We said that earlier.
Hey,
I just want to say it again. Sorry.
It's the bust league.
He's trying to get on Zach's good side because he knows he hasn't gotten him his athletic greens yet.
We mailed
Zach. You're nasty. If you need faucets, because you just teared up when Zach was talking about his brother and you got a splash of water on your face, Sloan, automatic faucets.
Touch free too, so you're not touching poop.
You know, Scott, I don't know if I told you. So here in Toledo, we don't have Sloan utilities. So I have not used the bathroom in Toledo. I just go outside.
You should get one put, have them send you a Sloan toilet to your apartment.
Oh. And only you can use it.
What would you do if a toilet showed up at your house? What's my screen time? 3:58 today.
Bullshit.
Damn, that's good for
it. It's day. Low. I went to a movie.
Yeah. How was it, by the way?
It was good. Definitely worth go seeing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Went with Michael Rucker. It was great.
Scott, I would have gone with you because I'm a big Marvel guy, but you didn't invite me.
See, you know, that I was just going to say, it's like, I don't know if Ian would have gone.
He would have been like, no, I got plans.
Yeah, like.
I would have gone.
Hey, Ian.
I'm sorry. It was kind of the last second thing.
Room in our apartment. You want to live? No, I don't. I want to live in the hotel.
That never happened. You had another
room. Next time you get the invite. We saw the Batman with Nico in spring.
Yeah, you didn't invite me to go see the Spider-Man in spring either.
I didn't see Spider-Man in spring. I saw it a while ago.
Nah, that's all right. Dakota, what was your screen time? I text Scotty when we go on the road and ask him if he wants to be friends, and usually he's like, "Nah, I'm good."
So like,
I'm going to breakfast with Rivas. I'm good.
That's
I'm
a like, lot. Yeah, to get.
I'm kind of down for Scott. I'm kind of down for that.
We saw Ian get in his car with his then girlfriend, now fiance, and it's like, "Oh, Ian, can I jump in the back seat and go to breakfast with you guys?" I'm not gonna do that.
Are you running down the street, waving the taxi down? Like, hey, wait.
Yeah.
And also, Scott didn't want to eat with you because he sent us a picture of you guys at breakfast and you guys were both on your phones. Hang up and hang out one time.
Sad.
Me and Julie.
What this world is.
He literally sent a picture of you guys at your table. Both
he didn't phones. He didn't know that.
I think it was because the menu was on our phones. That had to be it. Dakota, what's your screen time?
5:18.
Oh! 5:18. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
That's special. I'm 2 hours behind you, but that's still, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Zach?
6:13.
Ew, you're gross. And I didn't have a game today. Tom?
5:18. No, we all had 5:18.
No. Tom, what was that screen time? Come on.
It was 8:14.
His defense, he had to see all the tweets that were being like, from the
tweeting
new
about
Dumb
Zach.
Boy
I had to spend a lot of time trying to do the math. It was a lot of math involved.
I'm a Tom defender.
Yeah,
Scott's my favorite person on this podcast.
Oh yes. My God.
Why don't you go start a podcast with Scott, Tom?
Scott and Tom.
I would
Scott
love it. Scott and Tom.
The
Let's
guys from
it.
The A's, your best friends from the A's.
Oh, yeah. Not even anymore.
Yeah, none of them are on the A's anymore.
Yeah, well, funny how that works. They want to. Whatever. Close it out, Ian. Get us out of here.
Oh, he's muted.
I was going to say. Keep that in. That's staying in.
That was incredible. No, he's still
muted. You're still muted.
And that was episode 108 of the Compound Podcast.
109
brought to you by Parse Rum. When I say Parse, you say
Rum.
Nice.
Thanks for coming on, Scotty.
Ian is so replaceable in this podcast. It's insane. Wow.
Love you guys. I'm a compound head.
Hey, Ian. See you later, man. See you, man. See you guys later.
From.
Oh!
At the mark.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.